it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy hour time. Quinn and Chris, welcome back. 5:04 after a lively Big Five today. Happy hour brought to you by GL Pool, swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball season is in full swing. So is swim season. Call GL Pools, mention the word radio, and you'll get a free month of pool service. I like that. I like this. Show's been good today. Real quick, sad note, and I know we've had a couple people mention it on the chat, and I'm glad they did because I meant to mention it myself. A legend, and I think fair to call this man a legend, at the University of San Diego. John Cunningham passed away over the weekend at the age of 88. Bill Center wrote the story today in the Union Tribune. I did not personally know John Cunningham, but I played baseball at San Diego State when he was coaching at USD, and he was there forever. And after being the baseball coach, he was the athletic director at USD, and his whole heart and soul and everything was dedicated to the Toreros. So John Cunningham, a legend on the hill there at USD. A sad day for Torero fans. Here's the other thing about John Cunningham. When he was coach of the baseball team, they had this big old bus. There's a picture right here, Scrape. It's kind of a funny picture, actually, because the bus is from the 80s or the 70s. You know what I mean? It's an old style.
Yeah, I can imagine what it looks
big
like.
Big old steel-looking contraption.
Yes, I know exactly what you're looking
yeah.
at.
Says University of San Diego. John Cunningham was not only baseball coach, he drove the bus.
That is awesome.
He drove the bus. Yeah, he did.
Well, so that is awesome.
It was. Like I said, he was a legend at USD. And really sorry to hear of his passing. At the age of 88, good long life for John. So I'm glad people reminded me because I saw that today and I did want to give a mention of that. All right, Padres and Reds tonight. And one of the things right off the bat that you'll notice if you look at the lineup, like we already have, is Eloys Arraez isn't in it. So I went back through, Scraby, real quick, before we get more into this. And Mike Schilt was asked about it, so you're going to hear what he had to say. But Eloys Arraez has only not been in the starting lineup twice in, like, the last forever.
Yeah.
Okay, one time was Friday night in yes. Denver when they almost got no hit by Kyle Freeland.
Yes.
The other time was in Seattle, and I don't know if you remember, it was last month, and whereas Arraez always bats second, that day Ramon Laureano batted second. And it was Laureano who came up with the tying run at third base with two outs in the ninth inning. It was total irony.
It's always that two spot.
You know, the two spot that everybody said, oh, we got to get Arraez out of there, get Laureano in there. And, of course, it came down to Laureano, and he grounded out. And the Padres lost that game 4-3. So with that as a backdrop, Arraez is out again tonight. Mike Schilt was asked about telling Arraez the news and how that news was met.
Multiple things. You know, like all the times we do a lineup, it's a factor of, you know, we're putting our best foot forward, you know, to go compete and win a major league game. You know, part of what today was, you know, we got Michael on the mound and, you know, he's going to be on the ground a lot. So we want to make sure we're catching the baseball. And then, you know, we've had guys that have really produced well. Sheets clearly has done it. And but Hearn has more than earned his opportunity, took a day yesterday, gave Louis the start off today, and if the opportunity presents itself, he'll be ready to go.
How has he embraced that? He has been more in the lineup than the other two as far as a rotation. Now, it's been a couple times in the last week where he has sat.
Yeah, he's been a complete pro. He's a team guy, and, you know, they all want to play. And, you know, we're not making it more than it is. He's getting a day off. So, you know, he'll get the start off, and the game presents itself. And that's about all I can say, really.
Arise coming in at 283 on the average and 705 on the OPS. But the almost laughable 0.9 WAR. Like, he's barely better than a bag of rocks out there. So, you know, I'm not going to go into this whole thing with Arise, but he's not playing tonight. Those of you who've been wishing for it, you got it. And we'll see how it works tonight. Secondly, Xander Bogaert. And, you know, one more thing on the rise. What Mike Schilt said there is fact. You've got King pitching tonight. I think in a perfect world, they would actually rather have Jake at short and Arise at second and give Iglesias the night, because he really hasn't given you much either. And you're facing a right-handed pitcher.
Yep.
So if Arise was in, you have a left-handed bat as opposed to Iglesias. But with Michael King returning tonight, you don't want to give any extra anything.
You said this earlier, yeah.
Yeah, so you want Iglesias in, and you want Jake at second, and that's just how it goes. So I think that's a big part of it as well. Xander Bogaerts.
Nice bones, Xander.
He's got nice bones. He told us that. How are those bones doing, Xander? We got an update on him from Mr. Schilt a little while ago as well.
You know, they're doing some testing on him, and it's very encouraging. And so he's going to start some light baseball activity. I want to temper the expectation here, but, you know, starting to get some stationary ground balls and some dry swings, but it's a start. And, you know, the good news is, you know, as he recovers, he can ramp up that activity, and hopefully before you know, we'll see him back on the field. But there's still some time to take place and some hurdles to jump over.
Well, it has to start, right?
So I'm fine with that update.
Yeah. I'd like to see Xander in a perfect world about a week and a half before the end of the season. Let him get 10 games to swing. You know, I don't want him to return on the first day of the playoffs because, you know, I don't really have time for him to get, you know, loose.
Yes, of course.
So let's go, you know, give me 10 games and that'll be fine.
And then we'll have all the lineup concerns again, Chris, when he's in the lineup.
They're good concerns.
Cole on the chat says, crazy we complain about a 283 hitter. I think that some people aren't hearing me. I'll just say me. They're not hearing me. I am not complaining about Luis Arise being in the lineup. I'm complaining about him being in the two spot.
Well, if he's in the lineup, he's going to be in the two spot.
You're right.
Hasn't been anywhere else.
You're right. He is.
Cole, thanks for the note, but welcome to my world. People just don't like Luis Arise, so I don't know what to tell you. You know, they don't. Honestly think he's useless.
Watching the game last night, like, I know that he is a guy who swings the balls out of the zone. That's just who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But he has not, like, in I'm not criticizing him for this because I can't hit a baseball, but he's not adjusting to me, it seems. He's still swinging at the balls that are at his head, and he's flying out instead of taking the walk.
And I would also tell you that those are the same pitches he swung at when he hit 330. He's just not hitting the 330
exactly.
This year.
So don't you think, okay, I'm not hitting those balls this year, I need to start being a little bit more selective with the pitches I swing at?
I don't know. And I'm not disagreeing with you.
I know.
I just want to give you a few other names of major league ball players here. Tyler Fitzgerald in the minors right now at the Giants, or kind of borderline.
Yeah, he's borderline.
Bo Naylor, the Guardians catcher.
Yeah.
Henry Davis, backup catcher for the
was he a number
Pirates.
One overall pick?
He was, but right now
he's
barely
not.
Plays. Casey Schmidt, our old friend.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
He's had, you know, some moments for the Giants this year. Javier Sanoja, backup middle infielder for Miami. Addison Barger, third baseman for Toronto. Don't know a bunch about him. Tyler Stevenson.
What are these players
who plays for
common?
The Reds. They all have a 0.9 WAR, like Luis Arise.
There you go.
So I'm comparing I'm just saying, in the WAR radio that ratio, that's where they put him with those guys. I don't put him with those guys. But, you know who's a 1.0 WAR? Jerickson Profar. How about Colton Cowser, the guy who terrorized the Padres last week?
Jerickson Profar needs to get negative WAR because of, you know, missing most of the season for a reason that he caused.
I'm just saying. I mean, the WAR stat is still weird to me. That's all I can tell you. All right. Going to go to break, but before we get there, I'm going to ask you this question. The 1975 Cincinnati Reds, one of the greatest teams in baseball history. They won 108 ball games.
The Big Red Machine?
They were the original version of the Big Red Machine. They had seven different guys that year who made multiple starts, kind of, you know, part of their rotation, starting pitchers. One of those guys began his career as a Padre and then made multiple starts for the 75 Reds. Name that player, and you will go see the Reds and the Padres tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening at Petco Park. First person with the correct answer, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Give me the starting pitcher on the 1975 Big Red Machine who began his career as a Padre.
No.
Don't tell me the phones don't work. Is that what you're telling me? What? What?
I don't even want to admit it.
Uh-oh. We don't have tickets?
We don't.
Oh, my God!
I know.
All right.
I was almost positive we had tickets today.
All right, I'm going to strangle Scraby during the break.
Oh, no.
Sorry to everybody who's going to call in.
Hold on, I'm going to call the boss in the break and see.
See if you can do something about this.
Yeah.
What a disaster!
This is
Scraby!
That's fair.
Where's the Will thing, man? That's what we need right now.
That is absolutely fair. As you were saying, I was like, I should probably go check to just to three times now. Triple check.
Scraby! All right, well, stay on the phones if you're there. Who knows? Maybe we can still save this sorry situation. But right now, we'll check traffic. Oh, my God.
That's bad.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know how to break this to you, but I'm going to let Scraby explain what happened there. I will say this. If you're online and you're dialing in and your phone is ringing and you have the name Clay Kirby dancing in your head because you feel that's the correct answer, the good news is you would have been right. That is the answer. The bad news is it's not going to get you anything today. Scraby, explain. What happened?
All right. Well, if you really want me to go into it, I'll go into it. So I have a template for the document every single day. Sometimes I have to put things into the main doc or the master document, and then I copy it. So I copied it, and it had the tickets in there, and so I just didn't even think about it.
Oh, it's from yesterday, though.
Yeah. Bottom line is there are no tickets.
You didn't have tickets. So he called.
But I'm efforting. I called the boss.
He called the boss to try to save the situation here.
I don't know that I can, but I did effort to get something down the road, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. So I apologize to everyone.
Yeah.
For
that's all we can do.
That.
We don't have Padre tickets to give you. Scraby thought we had them. It's an honest mistake.
I will bring this home with me.
No,
tonight.
But it's an honest mistake. Leave it. Leave it here. It's an honest mistake.
Everybody makes
honest mistakes.
But I don't want to be the guy who's like, "We got Padres."
No, you didn't.
You made
an honest mistake.
Okay.
That's all that happened.
All
you copied something
nice.
From yesterday, and you assumed it was there today. It's not. Clay Kirby was the answer. My guess is nobody knew it anyway. No, I'm joking.
There's
I'm
someone
sure
out
they
there
knew.
That knew it.
Oh, I'm sure they
well,
knew.
Well, thanks for being nice, because I feel like an idiot.
All right, we got a quick potpourri before the end of the show today. And again, sorry if you're dialing in. We're just going to have to get you the next time. It's one of those hang with them deals.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with, there's three things I want to cover here. One, Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Pushing a fan.
Yep.
Two, the Philly Karen.
Mm.
I think everybody's seen this if you're online. The Twitter it's blown up. It was on TMZ last night.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's how big it is. The Phillies Karen. If you don't know what we're talking about, I'll tell you that. And then the third thing I want to talk about is Emmett Sheehan, Dodger pitcher, who is pitching again tonight for the Dodgers. Let's start with him. The video last week showed the following. Emmett Sheehan pitching against Baltimore, or was it Pittsburgh? Maybe Pittsburgh. One of those. Kid for Pittsburgh got his first major league hit off Emmett Sheehan. Ball came back into the infield. A lot of times they kind of know this ahead, you know, and they just throw it right into the dugout. But this time the ball came back to Emmett Sheehan.
Yes.
Dodgers players returned the ball to Emmett Sheehan.
Trying to put it up right now.
So he had it in his glove.
If you would like to see...
Oh, you got a video of this.
Or if you want to go and watch our shows, all of our shows, go to YouTube, search
YouTube chat. Scraby will put it up there if you haven't seen the video. If you're driving, of course, you'll have to look this up later yourself. But Emmett Sheehan has the actual ball that the kid got his first hit. So the umpire throws another ball out to Emmett Sheehan, with the idea being that Emmett Sheehan will then throw the kid's ball back in recognition of his first hit. But if you look at the video, as I did, and I don't know if you did, Scrape, it looks like Emmett Sheehan switches the balls.
All right.
And apparently does not give the kid the ball that is rightfully his, but instead throws the one the umpire gave him back to the Pirate dugout. I don't know if anything's ever been proven one way or the other. I never saw the resolution to this.
There was really no resolution.
Okay.
Oh, well, he apologized. Emmett Sheehan said he wasn't aware, and he apologized for doing that.
Apologized for doing what?
For what everybody's accusing him of.
So he actually did switch the balls?
Let me go get his quote.
Because if he switched that and kept whoever it was from getting their first major league hit ball... It's one of just the flat-out rudest things I've seen in a long time.
I would agree with you.
If Emmett Sheehan is trying to hide behind the fact that he just had no clue, then why did everybody know? Anyway, so I lost the... Let's put it this way. I'm struggling to have a lot of respect at the moment for Emmett Sheehan. Don't know him personally, but... Really can't believe that you consider keeping a guy from his rightful memento of his first major league hit.
No, he said from Dodgers reporter Kristen Watson said the pitcher denied he was trying to ruffle any feathers. Quote, Emmett Sheehan said it was not intentional. He didn't realize that the ball was being called for and shared that he would personally apologize to Cam Devaney for the misunderstanding.
Okay. But
Cam
Devaney never got the ball. Or did he?
I'm sure he got the ball somehow. The only thing I don't get about this...
Not if Emmett Sheehan threw it again and the next guy hit it into the upper deck for a foul ball.
That's true. The only thing I don't get about this is what's the motivation on Emmett Sheehan's side? Like, why does he care? Does he have a personal beef with this guy?
Yeah, because he's at an... Yeah, he had an axe to grind for some reason. I don't know. He looked like he had an axe to grind. It looked like he was just intentionally going, you know what? I'm an a-hole, and I'm going to show everybody that I am. That's kind of how it came across.
I didn't get that.
That's how it came across to me.
Because I keep thinking, okay, why is he doing this? And there's no reporting on anything. There's got to be a reason for it if he was doing it intentionally. But I don't know that he was doing it intentionally.
Well,
he
says
he
wasn't.
Look at the ball.
He says he wasn't, but it's an awful big oversight by him then.
It could be. So. It could be. He goes, he looks at the ball that was just thrown to him,
he switches them and then throws the wrong ball back to the umpire.
You know what I saw someone else say on online, which is not a great place to get your answers from, but they're saying that he liked the scuff that was maybe on the ball that he had, and so he didn't switch it over.
Emmett Sheehan, your honesty and integrity are at least in question.
Okay, I can agree with that.
On this show.
I can agree with that.
And in many other places. Secondly, Lamar Jackson. We got very little time.
Yes,
we So I want to save more time for the Philly Karen. Lamar Jackson shoved the fan after the fan shoved DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
No suspension warranted, but fine. Absolutely. I don't care what the fans do. The players can't be shoving fans. Sorry, Lamar. I know you're who you are. And even Lamar said he lost his cool there.
Yes,
you can't do that. The fans are going to act like idiots. You can't react that way.
I agree with you. I think that I'm more on
I'm not suspending the guy, you know, except for the Dolphin game later in the season. Let's suspend him for that.
I'm more thinking that fans are going to end it for and fun for fans because
eventually
we've had too many different things.
Well, eventually what they'll do is those low seats at the end of the end zone, they'll just put nets or something in between the fans and the, you know what I mean, or they'll put a railing so that nobody can get in there, and that is too bad.
I don't think that Lamar Jackson should have shoved him, obviously, but I also don't think that the person who was hitting his helmet and pushing his head around should be, you know, looked past.
Well, he's already told he can't come to any more games, so he got his.
I don't know if that's the right answer either, but Lamar said he was probably enjoying too many beers.
They always
are. But
there's
just too many of these things have happened now recently. Athletes are going to start demanding that their security be a little bit more top of mind. I guess they didn't have to go to the end zone in the Buffalo and hang out with the fans there, but I don't know. We don't have enough time for...
We don't have a lot of time for the Philly Karen. But she went. The father caught the ball, gave it to his son. Philly Karen thought it should have been her ball.
She was
screaming
him
down and screamed him. It's all on video. If you haven't seen it, look it up. What did you think real quick? Was she just completely out of pocket?
Oh, she's completely out of line. There's a company out there that is asking... Or saying that they'll pay her $5,000 if she signs the ball, I'm sorry, and gives it back to the family. So she can get out of this for $5,000. If I got caught on camera about a home run ball and I get $5,000, maybe I'll do it.
The Karen has to do with what? This notion that she's just kind of...
Well, she's a psycho.
A psycho. So anybody named Karen? That's not fair.
No,
Karens.
I know. Karens are
sorry
unfairly
that,
maligned.
Okay, sorry about that. But the lady was a psycho.
And she was
and
nuts.
Too many people are psycho over any foul ball or home run ball to begin with.
I agree.
Stay tuned. Sam Levitt's next. We're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Look for you then. I think Matt Snyder, CBS, will be with us.
Oh, wow. Nice job.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.